Here they come. Book able to get rid of it. It's picked off. Intercepted. Nick Needham into the end zone for the pick six. Touchdown, Miami.
And the second hottest team in the National Football League, the Miami Dolphins, last night winning their seventh in a row against the Saints. The Saints, with their basically a four-string quarterback is what they were using last night because of COVID, with Taysom Hill being out and also Trevor Siemian. And, you know, that's the thing for the Saints that stinks. They had all the momentum in the world. They beat the Buccaneers in Tampa, and then they have no Taysom Hill, no Trevor Siemian. And you go to a rookie in Ian Book for Notre Dame who did not look good, as could have been predicted. And so goes the Saints, as that's pretty much probably going to finish them off, you would think, in the NFL playoff picture. We will talk more NFL in a moment. Any local sports you want to get to, Dusty? Anything going on?
There's nothing going on this week as far as competition. The moratorium just finished yesterday, so kids can get it back into the gyms today and practice and train or whatever they're doing there. But they'll get back into it here this week, starting today, and get practices going for competition. Some basketball teams will be starting coming up a week from today, so they'll have more games then, and then wrestling will then start later that week and the first week of January, and we'll get back to it for high school sports. But right now it's pretty dead, but anything that's going on, you can always catch up with it at ncksports.com. So that's it for local sports here today.
All right. Have a good holiday.
I did.
Good.
Enjoyed time with the family and got to see everybody but my brother's oldest kid. He was not feeling well, so he couldn't quite make it to Christmas this year. So otherwise, it was a great time and got to see everybody. And as always, it goes way too fast.
Yeah, it does. obviously, I know when you've gone home, your hair is cut.
Actually, I did that myself before I left.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
I do it myself anymore because I don't bother my mom.
Okay.
Since I just buzz it all off anyway.
There's really not as much to cut.
It's not difficult.
Nah, it's
exactly. There's not as much anyway because I'm losing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm not going to waste mom's time and effort here when I can do this myself.
I gotcha.
So.
ironic the timing.
It was coincidence, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, I'll tell you a little bit about our Chiefs experience coming up later on in the show as we went to a Chiefs game, my oldest, my youngest, and myself, and then uncle of ours and a friend of his, and then our stepfather-in-law, and so we had a good time at the Chiefs game. How could you not? Chiefs kicked the you-know-what out of the Steelers. By the way, I just want to say, I got to throw this out there. So this is interesting, and it works both ways for both fan bases, all right? I've already talked about this with the Broncos, but the Steelers are no different. See, this is the thing that I love about fans, is that the fan bases think that their stuff don't stink. They think that their fan base is better than everybody else, when really you are no better than any other fan base. And this applies to Bronco fans, Chiefs fans, Steeler fans, Raider fans, whatever it might be. You always think that your stuff
Patriot
doesn't stink. Patriot fans that jumped on a wagon.
Air quotes.
Yes. So all these so-called fans. And it is interesting. So when the Steelers were winning Super Bowls and being annoying, it was okay. When Chiefs win games and beat the Steelers to a pulp, and I say something to a Steeler fan, he's all pissed off, at least that's how he acts, on texting, and says, that's why I hate Chiefs fans. Well, you know what? We hated Steeler fans. And we hated Bronco fans. You know, it's our turn. You know, after all the misery, I mean, you know what? You Steeler fans have been completely, utterly spoiled. You have six Super Bowl championships, right? Mm-hmm. Six?
I think it's six.
I think it's six.
It's at least five.
At least five. Yeah. That's more than the Chiefs have. All right? The Chiefs have two and had to go 50 years in between Super Bowl appearances, okay? The Broncos have been greatly spoiled. They had Elway. Then they got the luck of the draw and got Peyton Manning on top of that. Okay, and they went to back-to-back Super Bowls and won one and got blown out in another. And you've been to, the Broncos have been to many more Super Bowls than the Chiefs have been, all right, in regards to that 50-year drought the Chiefs had between Super Bowl when they won it all and then, of course, when they won it a few years ago. And so there have been – what is it? I remember when this was happening. It was the Patriots and the Steelers almost every year. AFC conference title game, one of them was always in it. Dusty said, I got sick of it. I remember Dusty telling me this. He's like, it's boring. It's the same teams all the time. The Steeler fans would pump their chest and talk. Steeler fans wanted to bet me when the Steelers played the Chiefs. Then to this year and other years, the last few years, when I said, hey, Chiefs are going to play the Steelers, when all of a sudden Steeler fans go into the closet. They don't want any part of it. They won't even bet, and I give you 10 points. They won't even do it. And so it is so interesting to me because, you know, when you say you hate Chiefs fans, or if you're a Bronco fan, you say hate Chiefs fans. You're a Steeler fan, you say hate Chiefs fans. Or, you know, honestly, now you know how we felt about you. All right? It's called karma. What goes around comes around. And eventually, it'll come back around. And trust me, eventually, if the Steelers ever have a brain and draft a franchise quarterback, and that's what's changed everything, the Broncos haven't drafted a franchise quarterback. They've gone with retreads. Okay, they tried with Paxton Lynch, didn't work. The Steelers haven't done anything. The best one they've got is Mason Rudolph, who's a career backup. He's not the answer long term for the Steelers.
Yeah, they're holding on to the last franchise quarterback they drafted.
Yes,
and it's not working for him right
now. He looked extremely old and disinterested, and looked like he was grandpa on the football field the other day.
Yeah,
he didn't even want to throw the ball down the field. And as soon as he gets any pressure, he wilts, kind of like Tom Brady, except Brady's doing much better than Roethlisberger right now. Although I'll argue Brady's probably got a better cast around him than Roethlisberger does in Pittsburgh. So I find it ironic, and I think it is very interesting, because when you say, as a Steeler fan or a Bronco fan, I hate Chiefs fans, now you know how we have felt all those years, because, and hate's a strong word, by the way, dislike, whatever, can't stand. But you Bronco fans and Steeler fans and Patriot fans are no different than the Chiefs fans are today. Don't act like you're better than the Chiefs fans. And Chiefs fans, by the way, don't sit here and do the same thing and act like, well, we handle it classier by winning. We know how to handle winning because we're used to it now. You know, so forth and so on. Don't go there either. Both fan bases are guilty of this. And trust me, 10 years from now, if the Steelers, you know, 5 years from now, if the Steelers and the Broncos get smart and draft a young quarterback and turn him into anything close to Patrick Mahomes, Bronco fans will become the most annoying fans of all. And the Steeler fans will be right back to where they once were as well. And guess what? You'll be on the same level Chiefs fans are now. So don't sit here as a Chiefs fan and tell me that you're greater than thou, than the Steelers, or the Cowboys, or the Broncos. At the same time, Steeler fans and Bronco fans and Cowboy fans and Patriot fans, don't act like you're any better than Chiefs fans. Nobody's better than anybody, okay? The fan bases are all the same. It's very simple. Trust me, I know. I have close friends that are Cowboy fans. I have close friends that are Bronco fans. I have close friends that are Steeler fans. You know what happens when they're losing? And the Steelers aren't even that bad. The Steelers have beaten the Bills and the Titans, two division leaders. Mm-hmm. But somehow Steeler fan wants to make it sound like they're the worst team in the NFL and haven't won a game all year. Oh, I knew they were going to get rolled. Well, maybe you did, but did you know you're going to beat the Titans last week? Hell no, you didn't. So you sit here and you poo-poo your team. And I get it, because that's what Chiefs fans have done. We're 10-6, but Alex Smith's not the real deal. We're 12-4, but we're going to suck in the playoffs like we do every year. We're going to flame out. Or we're a 2-4 team, we're no good, we're a joke in an organization. And until the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, it was pretty much, we're going to have a good year, we're going to draft low, but we're never going to win a Super Bowl. All right? You just kind of poo-pooed it, even though the Chiefs were actually winning consistently for the most part, okay? Steeler fans.
Six straight
AFC West championships.
Two of those were not Patrick Mahomes.
Two of those are Alex Smith. Did the Chiefs come close to making the Super Bowl with the first two? No.
No.
Did not. Got Patrick Mahomes, good to go. Steelers, you know, they had a spell there where they weren't awesome. They got Big Ben Roethlisberger. Changed everything, didn't it?
Absolutely it did.
I mean, there's no question it did. You know, the Denver Broncos, you know, they weren't exactly smoking and rolling people until they got a guy named John Elway. All of a sudden, they started to become pretty good. The key is the quarterback. It's always the key, is you've got to have a franchise quarterback to have a chance. You might be able to win a Super Bowl occasionally without a franchise quarterback. We've seen it occasionally happen. But in order to really be good for an extended period of time and compete for championships each and every year and make a deep run in the playoffs and make it the Super Bowl, you have to have a franchise quarterback. That's the number one thing you need. Not an all-pro center, not a great defense, not a great running back, not a great tight end, not a great coach, although coaching helps. You've got Andy Reid never won a Super Bowl until he got Patrick Mahomes. All right? Simple as that. It's as simple as that. All right? So Belichick's never won a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. That's a fact as well, so far. Now, it might change at some point. But you have to have a franchise quarterback. And so what the Steelers and Broncos are dealing with right now is what Chiefs fans had to deal with for many, many years. And now you hate us. You know why you hate us? Because you're jealous as hell of us. Just like we were when you were always beating us. So just step back and let us enjoy the ride. And if we send you an occasional email or text or a phone call razzing you a little bit, that's what's called sports. Because you guys did it when you were doing well. And so here's the thing. If you can dish it, you better be able to take it. And if you can't take it, then you better not send me anything when your team gets good again. Because the Steelers will get good again. At some point in my lifetime, the Steelers will be good again. They will probably make the Super Bowl again. They'll probably win a Super Bowl. Same thing with the Broncos. Same thing with the Patriots. It's going to happen, all right? The Cowboys, they suddenly look really good right now. I mean, eventually, these teams are going to get better, and they're going to make a run. And the Chiefs, once Mahomes either gets hurt or retires, or who knows what happens, or if Andy Reid leaves, although I would say Mahomes more so, yes, the Chiefs will slide back into 8-8, 10-6, 11-5, maybe even 2-14, all right? But until that happens, you had your turn. You had your turns multiple times during 50 years. You can't let us have 5 years or six. Because the ultimate comeback from every Steeler and Bronco fan and Cowboy fan is what? Well, that's great, but we have more Super Bowl wins than you do. Precisely why you need to just let us enjoy this. Because we let you enjoy your time. At least I did. I didn't like it, but I let them enjoy it. I had Bronco fans. I'm just like, yeah, you know, you're going to beat the Chiefs. That's how it works. That, you know, last 2 minutes, Elway's going to beat us. I know how it works. Oh, hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers coming. The Steelers came into Arrowhead. Alex Smith was our quarterback. We had home field advantage. The Steelers didn't score a touchdown and still won. They had six field goals. I mean, and an interesting penalty at the end that would have been a two-point to tie the game. I remember Steeler fans after that. Oh, baby. Rubbing it in, salt into a wound, and then I send a little text to a couple of Steeler fans, and their feelings get hurt. Wee! Boo-hoo-hoo! Sucks, doesn't it? Yeah, now you know how we felt. Yes. Well, you could be classier in that way. You could be higher than that. You could take the high road. No, nope, not going to do it. Nope. No way, Jose. No way. I'll sink to your level. And that's what I mean by all the fan bases are the same. Listen to me, Steeler fans, Bronco fans, Cowboy fans, Patriot fans. I don't care what fan you are. All the fans stoop to the same level. So you may dislike the Chiefs fans or hate the Chiefs fans right now. Good for you. Now you know how we felt because we hated you when you were winning all the time. So it's called karma. And you know what they say? Karma is a bleep sometimes. And eventually, it'll come back around and there'll be people coming back at me when the Chiefs suddenly, if Mahomes gets hurt or the Chiefs get old, you know, next year. I mean, I already heard it this year. Yeah, I heard it from Steeler fans and Bronco fans when the Chiefs are 3-4. Hope you enjoy that. Because now the Chiefs are 11-4 and right where they are every year for the last 6 years. Winning the West, maybe going to be the number one seed, and the Broncos are sitting there 7-8 going, what are we going to do? The Steelers are 7-7-1 going, oh God, we got an old quarterback. But yet when the Chiefs started 3-4, Bronco fans weren't bragging about being 3-0. No, they weren't. They were bragging about the Chiefs were losing. And when Steeler fans, they won their first game of the year against the Bills. I remember Steeler fans were telling me, oh, Chiefs, Mahomes is overrated. I heard it. Where are you now? You're back in the closet. You've gone ahead, shut the door, thrown away the key, and you're not going to come out until you get a franchise quarterback. That's the key. We never drafted a franchise quarterback. That's why the Chiefs stunk for 50 years. And they had their good years, 13-3 with Bono, 13-3 with Gerback. Woohoo! But then we had Lynn Elliott, and we had all kinds of weird things happen. We had a horrible defense, never had a complete team. But we never had that stud quarterback like the Steelers have had multiple times. Terry Bradshaw, Roethlisberger, like the Broncos have had, Elway, Peyton Manning, I know, towards the end, but still won a Super Bowl and went to another one when he threw for over 5,000 yards. So guess what? You were spoiled. And now we are spoiled. So we have more in common than you think. You stink right now. We used to stink. And I don't even know if I want to say stink. The Broncos are 7-8. They're not horrible. The Steelers are 7-7-1. They're not horrible. You're not a horrible team if you beat two division leaders. And they just beat the Titans last week. So maybe the Steelers aren't as bad as we think because they just played bad against the Chiefs. Perhaps it's because they had spent all their energy the last couple weeks beating the Ravens.
Because they get down at the start of every game.
Yes, they get behind. And the Vikings, they were down way behind. What was a Thursday night game? And they came all the way back, almost won. So don't sit here. And I'm saying this to all fans. I'm making fun and having fun against the Steeler and Bronco fans because they're the ones that are the loudest. Okay, around here, they're the loudest. But Chiefs fans are no better. We're not. Don't act like you are, Chiefs Kingdom. You're no better. You know, well, we're not going to act like the Patriots did when they won. I already see it. I mean, the Chiefs fans are already acting like they're the next dynasty. And they are. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, that would be four straight AFC title games. That would be three straight Super Bowl appearances. That would be two out of three Super Bowl wins. You have a right as a Chiefs fan to be hyper excited. You have a reason to beat your chest. And you should enjoy it. Absolutely. And should you rub it in to Steeler and Bronco fans? I would say you rub it into the people that rubbed it into you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, if you know of a Steeler fan and Bronco fan that didn't rub it into you, then maybe you don't need to rub it in their face. You know, I think it's do as to others would do to you, the golden rule. So if people want to always make fun of you and take shots at your team, all right, take shots at their team when they're down. You know, that's fine. That's called a fan base, called trolling each other. It's just part of it. And usually it's really fun razzing. And I'm making an exaggeration of this a little bit to make my point, because I've got friends that are Steeler fans and Cowboy fans and Bronco fans. And it is funny that when their only argument is we have more Super Bowls than you do, you have no argument.
Yeah, one of those teams is getting close to running out of that argument.
Yes. So you have no argument, because then you're living off of history. And then if I ask you what years did you win the Super Bowl and you can't tell me, then okay. So you know, to know one little comeback, but you got nothing else. Listen, I really honestly don't give two hoots what the Broncos and the Steelers and the Cowboys did last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago. Don't care. Don't care. I am living in the moment. And all I care about is my Chiefs. That's my Chiefs. They're my team, okay? I don't own them, but they're my team. They've been there. They've been my team since I was as young as I can remember, and they stunk when I was growing up. Frank Gann's years, for crying out loud. The Chiefs were horrible. They were a laughingstock. They were called the Chefs. That was their nickname, the Chefs. They weren't even given any respect by national media. The Chiefs were a joke, an absolute travesty of an organization. And now they're having unparalleled success compared to really, honestly, anybody in the National Football League since the Steelers back in their heyday. The Broncos had a great run. Of course, the Cowboys and 49ers had great runs. And, of course, the Patriots have probably the best run over an extended period of time. The Chiefs have a chance to be that dynasty. Now, if they lose the Super Bowl this year, I don't think you are. I think you got to win multiple Super Bowls in a five-year span. I mean, if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl four times in 5 years and go 2-2, I do think that's a dynasty, because that's pretty impressive in a league that's full of parity, that's designed to have new teams make it. Mm-hmm. So we're more alike than we think. And so when I hear Bronco or Steeler or Cowboy fans go, "Oh, the Chiefs fans, they're just classless and they don't know how to handle winning." Well, neither did you. All right, I've dealt with the same comments that those fans made towards the Chiefs when they weren't any good. Now Chiefs fans are having fun throwing it back, and then some of those people can't take it. It's like when somebody goes around all the time making fun of somebody and telling jokes and making fun of them, and then all of a sudden somebody has a clever comeback, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, my feelings are hurt." Well, what do you think you've been doing for the last 2 years in school? You know, I've always said a bully doesn't like to be bullied. Now, I'm not saying Steeler fans are bullies. I'm not saying Bronco fans are bullies. I'm not saying Chiefs fans are bullies. But the point is, there's an analogy. Bullies don't like being bullied. They don't. Guess what? Fans don't like being trolled when their team's not any good, but boy, they love to troll people when their team's great. And that's called wanting everything on your side. You don't like Chiefs fans because they're enjoying the run that they're having? Well, I'm sure you really disliked your fellow Steeler and Bronco fans when you had your great runs, right? I'm sure you were very consistent with your argument, right? Sure you were.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, come on, man. You know what? This is the Chiefs' time. This is their era. And they could end up, after Mahomes is done, the Chiefs could be horrible for 50 years. The Chiefs might go 50 years without ever making a Super Bowl ever again. And the Steelers might go to 5 Super Bowls. The Cowboys might go to 6. The Broncos might win 4. And if I'm old enough to remember anything, I'm going to go back and go, I remember the day back in 2022 when the Chiefs won 2 out of 3 Super Bowls. But then Mahomes got hurt in 2023. It was the curse of whatever. And that'll be that. It goes around, comes around, man. Almost every team has had success in this league. Almost every team in this league has had failure. None of the teams are different. All the fan bases are very, very similar. Now, some have been spoiled more than others. The Steelers have been spoiled more than any other fan base over the history of the National Football League. Them and, I guess you could say, the Patriots, although they weren't spoiled until the last 20, 25 years. The most spoiled, there's two franchises that are the most spoiled in the National Football League in the history of the National Football League. And the two are very easy to pinpoint. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are the two that have been spoiled the most. Now, if the Patriots had been more consistent over time, they would be in that category. They have
49ers, too, right? Because they did, like, all theirs was in, like, one
Yeah. The 49ers, like, is not over the course of the time.
Like, mid-'80s to mid-'90s. Right. I mean, that's when the 49ers were, because they're up there in the list, too, of Super Bowl wins.
Right, but they're more condensed, like you said. In the Patriots, the last 25 years, the Niners had about, what, 15-20-year run, maybe.
15-20, yeah.
But the Cowboys and the Steelers, they've made it to Super Bowls in multiple decades. They've won Super Bowls in multiple decades. They've had back-to-back championships. You know, they've done things that most franchises haven't done. They've been, and this is a huge compliment to Steelers fans and the Cowboy fans. It really has nothing to do with the fans, but the organizations.
Yeah.
The Cowboys and the Steelers have been the most consistent from the very dawn of time with the National Football League to now. They have been. They've been to almost as many Super Bowls as anybody else, or won as many as anybody else. The Patriots have had a great run, but it wasn't over the entire course of the National Football League history. The Steelers have, the Cowboys have, and those two fan bases are the most spoiled fan bases of all time in the National Football League up to this point. And so now, when the Steelers go 7-7-1, and now all of a sudden they want to, you know, trash their quarterback, well, he brought you a few Super Bowls. So it is funny how you jump off that wagon, too. And then there's the young fans, and it's the same way with Chiefs fans, by the way. The young fans of the Steelers can't appreciate what Roethlisberger did because they might not have started being a Steeler fan until, you know, they're younger. So they remember when they were 6-7 years old, Roethlisberger might have been in his prime. Now they're 17-18, and they're making fun of Roethlisberger, but they don't understand that he's a big reason why you've always been good or always in the race for the playoffs almost every single year for 2 decades. They don't understand that. Just like Chiefs fans, some of the Chiefs fans that are annoying are the ones that don't understand the history. They don't understand that the Chiefs were 13-3 and had Lynn Elliott miss 3 field goals. They have no idea about 38-10 in Indianapolis blowing the lead. They have no idea about the no-punt game. They have no idea about this or that or whatever. They have no idea about Rich Gannonship and the quarterback and Oliver Skirback in a playoff game. They don't know the double overtime loss to Miami on Christmas Day. They don't know any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. What they know is I became a fan because just the way I got older or whatever, and I remember when I was 8, I remember Mahomes when he won the Super Bowl. Now I'm 12 or now I'm 17. I remember Alex Smith a couple of decent years. And they don't know that the Chiefs are 2-14 and number one overall pick was a left tackle in Eric Fisher. Mm-hmm. They have no idea they didn't draft a quarterback for 35 years in the first round until they got Patrick Mahomes. Now, those fans don't know. So those fans, all they know, they're spoiled. The Chiefs fans that are very young are extremely spoiled because all they know is Chiefs success. I'll go back to K-State's another example. K-State, there are a lot of younger K-State fans that have no idea the impact Bill Snyder's had on college football, let alone K-State. They have no idea. They have no clue. They're young. They didn't live it. And I get it. They didn't live it. They didn't live it at all. So they just think K-State football was always competing for, you know, bowl games and every once in a while a chance for to win the Big 12. They have no idea that their program was almost eliminated. They have no idea. They just think it's a God-given right and privilege that K-State football should win 7 or 8 games every year. Same thing with Oklahoma fans. Same way with, well, Nebraska fans don't know the success. They're the opposite right now. Yeah, it's like, we were good. Yeah. We were good. We won 3 national titles in 4 years. Come on, blasphemy. That can't be real because we're horrible right now. You know, Alabama fans, the most spoiled of all. I mean, especially the last 10, 15 years of Nick Saban. So you need to enjoy being spoiled is what I'm trying to say. So Chiefs fans, don't let Steeler fans or Bronco fans try to get you down. No. They're in their misery. Let them wallow in it. All right? Let them wallow in their misery and enjoy Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. And let the Steelers enjoy over-the-hill Big Ben Roethlisberger, who doesn't have a lot around him right now, to be in fairness to him, especially his offensive line. His defense isn't that great. Got to start playing T.J. Watt. They looked completely worn out and disinterested the other day. I think they were just spent emotionally. I don't think they're that bad. But let them wallow in their pity. And while they're wallowing in the pity, you enjoy basking in the glory of what is Chiefs football. That is the best window of Chiefs football we've ever seen in the history of Chiefs football. This is the best run the Chiefs have ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. And now they could compare it to eras that the Cowboys and Steelers had. You can start to compare it, especially if they win the Super Bowl this year. You can compare it to the Cowboy dominant eras, the dominant era of the Niners, the dominant era of the Steelers, the dominant era of the Broncos. You can all be in the same conversation, and the Chiefs are on their way to being that. And so when other fan bases take shots at you, it's usually because they're jealous. Just like, and you know why I know this? Because I was on the other side. When you're a Chiefs fan, you take your shots when the Cowboys finally lose a game. Or, ha-ha, the Steelers didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Or, ha-ha, the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl to the Giants and didn't go undefeated. You enjoy that. Why? Because you wish you were there. You wish your team was switched spots with that team. So you enjoy their misery, all right? You enjoy their misery, even though your team didn't even make the playoffs. Why do you get a bigger kick out of another team? Like, this is the thing that cracks me up. K-State fans are the best at this when it comes to basketball, all right? When KU men's basketball loses, K-State fans, K-State men's team could have won by 30 the same night. K-State fans don't even know their team won by 30. But KU lost! KU lost! Ha, 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 you lost! It's like, seriously? Like, their fan bases get a kick out of Nebraska losing. Why do you care about Nebraska so much? They're not even in your conference anymore. Focus on your team. Your team, right? And so the only time I make a comment to Steeler or Bronco or Cowboy fans, honestly, is when the Chiefs have won it all or when the Chiefs beat them. I don't every single week when the Chiefs win 8 in a row, I don't send texts to Steeler fans going, ha ha, we won again. No. We play you once. We beat you 36-10. It was fun. It was very enjoyable. And yeah, I might send a text. I might put out a tweet out there. And if you don't like it, it probably means you can't handle what you dished before.
Yeah. A lot of things that I could unpack off of all that, because you went to a lot of different fan bases,
yes,
and a lot
right.
of different places.
And
because
you see why I did that. Yeah, they're all very much the
same. It's the same. And for me, I've never been one that really partakes in that kind of stuff with my buddies that are fans of other teams anymore. Like, I did it maybe, I would say probably through college. And when college was over, I was like, I was kind of out here by myself. Yeah, I could call my buddy, tell, hey, K-State beat KU, whatever.
Right.
And the one thing that always stood out about me with this was in 2004, was it, that KU finally beat K-State in football when Gordon had the touchdown run of there and kind of sealed it. It was 2004 because K-State had won 11 in a row, right? And
yeah.
Those 2-3 games that, since I knew my buddy that was a KU fan, he didn't hear a word from me about K-State beating KU because
right.
that's what you expected.
Right.
That's yeah. what you did.
That was a given.
The KU-K-State game, I mean, for crying out loud, 2 years earlier in the same place, K-State beat them 64-0.
Yeah, it wasn't
so,
even close.
And then the next year, K-State beat them like 42-6 when Bill Whittemore was supposed to take them and beat K-State.
Right.
And, you know, it's like I never said anything to the guy
mm-hmm.
the time I knew him. And then, like, it was just nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
After I got that Bob Davis call, was it Joe Gordon? John Gordon. John Gordon was the guy that ran the touchdown in for KU, I think. I think that's his name. I don't know. Got that dang play-by-play cut for a week and a half after the game was over. He'd recorded it and put it on my voicemail.
Talking about John, like, was it Randall or something?
Randall.
Yeah, I was going to say Gordon doesn't sound
I was thinking
right.
Joe Gordon from K-State.
Yeah, I was going to say Gordon doesn't sound right. It was John Randall.
Randall. Yeah. Anyway, Randall gets a touchdown and kind of sealed the game.
Right.
And so I got that play-by-play cut for a week and a half because KU was off the next week and had Oklahoma after that. And by the start of the second week, I was like, dude, you got Oklahoma coming up this weekend. If you're a real football team, start worrying about that game and stop worrying about this one because you beat a terrible K-State team.
Right.
One of the worst we've had in years. So I'm happy for you. Good for you.
Right.
But that was when I kind of just kind of cut all ties on that kind of action because it was, for me, it's like I never said a word to you when K-State beat KU in football.
Right.
And like what you were saying is like, okay, if you are giving it to somebody, you should expect to get it back.
Right.
But I was not giving it to anybody.
Right.
So I got something else back that I was not expecting. And then for me, at that point, it was like, I'm done with this kind of thing because it's not my thing. Because I know you have told me multiple times, I'm talking about my buddy here, you don't give a rat's blank about KU football. You don't care about it. KU football is dead to you.
That's right.
You don't care. So why are you now bragging to me for a week and a half that your team beat my team? And then the K-State KU thing is an interesting dynamic because that was one of four times that KU has beaten K-State since 1993. But you're in the midst right now of a 13-game K-State winning streak, right?
Right.
Broncos fans, come back. We have more Super Bowls.
Yep.
Steelers. Yeah. Oh, but we still lead the all-time series,
yes,
KU fans.
I know. Or we have more BCS wins or whatever.
I'm glad
bowl
you
wins.
Have something to hold on to because you've lost 13 in a row and have only won four games since 1993 against this team. It's like you said, I don't care about what you did 40
either.
Years ago.
I don't care about
what you did 10 years ago.
I don't either.
And it's just like that's what they do. That's what fan bases are going to do. They're going to hold on to something that they have that's better than what you have, that's better than what you were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, okay, well, yeah, but that thing is closing in real fast, and it was at one point like 30-something, and now it's 16.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that I look at. But the loudest ones are the ones that don't understand where they came from.
Exactly.
They don't understand where the Chiefs had to come from to get to where they're at right now.
Yeah.
And this is – I don't – that's why I don't engage in this kind of razzing or whatever. Now, with my closest family, I might, like, you know, I'm a Spurs fan, my cousin's a Knicks fan, stuff like that where it's not normal teams that you cheer for, where it's something – we're both cheering for obscure teams. I'll do that. But – I don't engage in a lot of it because it's annoying that the people that listen, the Chiefs fans that you think as a Broncos fan or a Steelers fan or a Cowboys fan that you think are annoying are the ones that don't understand where the Chiefs came from, and they're also the ones that jumped off when we were 3-4.
Right, exactly.
And this team's terrible. They're saying the same thing Steeler fans are saying about their team
right now.
Exactly they were
right.
saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's literal Chiefs fans that I know that are saying Patrick Mahomes is broken, and we were both like, no, he's not.
He's
fine.
Defeated.
I mean, everybody's going to go through a down stretch.
You bet.
There's not a single quarterback
in NFL history
that's been – excelling and outstanding and one of the best to ever do it that didn't at least have a stretch where they were not great.
Right.
And so you kind of got to let all that play out. But those are the loud ones.
You bet.
And they're the loud ones for the Steelers. They're the loud ones for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Patriots, that's why I used air quotes earlier when I was talking about Patriots fans. Because they don't understand where the Patriots came from.
They know
they
nothing
don't know
before Tom Brady.
Nobody knows anything about the Patriots before the year 2000.
No.
Like nobody.
No.
I bet they can't even tell you that Drew Bledsoe took the Patriots to the Super Bowl and lost to the Packers.
But
they
have no idea that they got rolled by the Bears in 85.
And it's just like you don't even know that they made it to two Super Bowls
before
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick came. You know, you don't know that Bill Parcells and Drew Bledsoe went to the Super Bowl in 1996 or whenever it was. This is like these people don't know that.
No, they don't.
But they cheer for the team because they started winning and they win. And that's It's obviously that's why it's called a bandwagon, and people like to jump on that. And so there's a lot of things to unpack there. But it's just like, I don't do it personally because I just don't get involved in it because it's annoying when somebody does it to you and you've never done it to them.
Here's a few couple of comments I've received in text from Bronco and Cowboy and Steeler fans, and I don't know who said what, but I'll give you a couple of them. When the Chiefs are struggling early in the year, all right, Mahomes is overrated. Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. Chargers are better. But it never was about their team.
Mm-hmm.
It was never about their team. It was never, hey, your team's not as good as the Steelers. No. The Steelers weren't ever brought up. Neither were the Cowboys, neither were the Broncos. It was, Mahomes is overrated. Well, what about your quarterback? Teddy Bridgewater. Congrats. I'd rather have an overrated Mahomes than any quarterback in this league. So, yay. Congrats. But like you said, do you know the history? I think a good comeback to the comeback, the comeback, when people say, well, yeah, okay, K-State's beat K 13 times in a row, but the all-time series is led by KU or who, whatever way you want to, every fan base can use it, right? Well, okay, so the Chiefs beat the Steelers, but head-to-head, the Steelers have beat the Chiefs or the Steelers have more Super Bowls. This is what you need to come back and say. What year were you born? Because really, honestly, since you've been alive, has your team been better than my team? Like, what happened in 1969, I can't use, really, because I wasn't born yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't watch Lenny Dawson. I never saw Lynn Dawson play. Oh, I know people that are Steeler fans. They didn't see Terry Bradshaw play. You know, there's some Bronco fans I know that didn't even see Elway play. So, you know, it's always fun when they come back with we got the most Super Bowls, or we got a lot of Super Bowls, or we got all-time more wins than anybody else. So that's great. You know, KU basketball fans use that. KU basketball fans are like, well, we've got the second most wins of all time. Yeah, but you don't have the second most national championships of all time, and that's all that really matters, right? Like KU, of all the seasons KU's had in men's basketball, number one seeds left and right, under Roy and with Bill and all these teams that were, you know, national championship contenders. They don't even have nearly as many Final Fours as they should have, let alone national championships. And then KU fans will come back with, we won 14 straight Big 12 titles. Congrats. How many national championships did you have? One. Ooh, congrats. And then you say, well, ha-ha, K-State fan, that's still one more than you have. True. Touche. You got that. But I would think if K-State had that many great teams, we would have won more than one. But I don't know. You know, Packer fans, oh, hey, we're great. We got Aaron Rodgers. How many Super Bowls have you won with Aaron Rodgers? You've been the one. You know, Mahomes in 3 years has been the more Super Bowls than Rodgers has. So, and that's not saying it's Rodgers' fault. I think it's the organization not giving him all the weapons he needs and so forth and so on. But you can continue to go through this path over and over and over. But as you said just a moment ago, I'm going to live in the here and now as much as I can. So when I have Steeler fan, Bronco fan, Cowboy fan telling me Mahomes is overrated or the Chiefs aren't any good or the defense stinks or ha-ha, the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs, I didn't really say much. I was just like, whatever. You know, we've been to the last two Super Bowls. I guarantee you we're closer to winning a Super Bowl now at 3-4 than you are right now. Which I'd stand by that comment. Go back and look at where the Steelers were after Week 7 and the Broncos. Chiefs are 3-4. I still knew they were better than those two teams. Chiefs just weren't playing like it. Now they are. And they waxed the Steelers. And by the way, I remember a couple Steeler fans sending me texts, giving me all kinds of grief about how they didn't even score a touchdown and still beat us in the playoffs. So, sorry,
yeah.
You came to Arrowhead and got your butt smoked. I might just say something. You know, if you can dish it, you should be able to take it. So, like for me, if I started something right now, like if Dusty was a Bronco fan, and he's wearing orange, by the way. He was a Bronco
black
fan,
and
black and orange. If he was a Cowboy fan, all right, let's say he was a Bronco fan, and I'm a Chiefs fan, and we never razz each other. And the Chiefs just beat the Broncos 36-10. And I said, how about those Broncos, huh, Dusty? Well, okay, now we've started it. Because now Dusty be like, all right, just wait till the Broncos. It'll happen. I might have to wait 2 years, 4 years, 20 years, whatever. Someday I'm going to remember that, Gerstner. And I'm going to put it right smack dab in the middle of your face. And I'm going to rub it in like pie. The pie eating contest, the pie throwing contest, I'm going to rub it right in your face to where you can't even breathe. I'm like, ha-ha, Broncos beat you. And I'll be like, yeah, we won 19 of the last 20, but who's counting? And that's the banter that goes back and forth. So if you're going to dish it, you better be able to take it. So if I would dish it to Dusty and I started it, or even if I don't start it, I need to be able to take it coming back. But to me, the great part of it is when they play each other. The thing that really bugs me is when, oh, the Chiefs didn't make it to the Super Bowl, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, neither did your team. Oh, the Chiefs didn't win the Super Bowl, but we were there. Yeah, but you didn't win it. Okay, whatever. I used the same argument back in the day, too. Like, oh, yay, the Broncos made the Super Bowl. Like, so what? You didn't win it. I've used the same argument. We can flip it. It's like debate. You can just change sides of the debate and the discussion. And that's the great thing about fandom, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, it is the head-to-head thing, though. The thing that you're
to me, that's
about,
when you really should brag about it, when you play head-to-head.
Yeah.
Not this, hey, the Patriots beat the Chiefs, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Or, oh, the Cowboys beat the Steelers, ha, ha, Steelers. Like, the Chiefs didn't even play.
The one thing that I always go back to when you talk about the – because there's a sect of K-State fans that you're right about with basketball. If they're more happy when KU loses than they are when K-State wins.
That's right.
And so it was 2010, the year K-State made it to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
Okay, KU lost to Northern Iowa.
Second round.
Earlier that day, K-State had beaten BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was after that. After that, K-State beat BYU.
Right.
Okay, so the next day, I see a K-State fan with a profile picture that had the shirt that Northern Iowa made for beating KU in the tournament.
Yeah.
As a profile picture.
Yeah.
K-State just beat BYU
to
make it to the Sweet
16.
And I'm like, dude, you're a K-State fan. And I, as a K-State fan, I know very, very well. I said, get that off your profile picture. I said, we're playing in the Sweet 16. Our team, K-State,
yes,
the team you cheer for,
yes,
is still alive in this tournament.
Yes.
Who gives a flying F? What? Excuse
That's
my.
Right. No, you're
my,
right.
I didn't say
you
the
didn't
word.
You didn't say a bad word.
Who gives.
Flying.
Ferret.
Fidget spinners.
Who gives a flying ferret what KU did?
A ferret's flying.
That Northern
sweet.
Iowa, they do.
Okay, cool.
Flying squirrel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I
mixed sure.
a ferret with a squirrel.
Works out for me.
What Northern Iowa did to KU in the tournament. What KU is even doing in this tournament. Unless you actually play them in the Final Four or national championship.
Right.
I don't care about it.
No.
I don't engage. That's not something I do. I'm always one. Because there's a lot recently where, you know, K-State fans are going to make fun of KU for losing to this team at home.
Yeah.
Even the last couple of years, I'm like, I'm a firm believer of having your own house in order. And our team is terrible right now.
Mm-hmm.
This team has won 8 conference games the last 2 years, and you're making fun of KU basketball for doing something that you're never even dreaming of doing?
That's right.
So that's why I've never engaged in that part of it either. But that year, I was not happy with my buddy. I was like, dude, take that off of your profile.
No, I agree with you.
I said, K-State is still playing. They're getting ready to play Xavier on Thursday, and their team's out of it. Don't even care about – don't even – why do you even care about them anymore?
Right.
Why are they – it's like today, everybody's like they're living rent-free in your head, and that's exactly what
that's
it is.
Right.
I mean, if you think about those kind of things when your team is having even more success than they're having, there's something – really wrong with the way you're approaching your fandom.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. You get more pleasure out of your rival losing.
You have to find something when you're bad,
right?
You have to find something that makes you feel better.
Sure.
And I get that when you're really, really bad, you like to see KU lose in the tournament because
sure.
you don't want to see them at the mountaintop.
You feel
I
better.
I understand that. Right. I know why people are like that.
I get it. I cheer when the Yankees lose because at least they didn't win it again, you know, that type of thing. I get
so
that.
So it's just like...
yeah, I hear you.
I can't do it. I can't engage with that kind of stuff, and as I get older, it's even less that I want to even deal with it.
I saw some KU fan this year say, we beat Texas, but we did something K-State couldn't do. We beat Texas. I'm like, well, pretty much everybody in the Big 12 beat Texas, but okay, you're technically K-State didn't, but K-State was a backup quarterback. KU comes back, well, we had a third-string quarterback. I'm like, okay, and a fifth-string tight end. I'm like, okay, touche, that's a good call. Good one. That's actually pretty good. But then I said, listen, whether you're a KU or a K-State fan, who won the football game this year when they played? Because that's
I was there.
That,
I know
that's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. I mean, it wasn't really that close. So it's funny how like but we beat Texas. Yeah, but you were 2-10 and K-State's going to a bowl game and K-State beat you head to head. But you're gonna we beat Texas. Yeah, Texas team that isn't very good. I mean, don't get me wrong. That was an awesome win for KU and I loved every second of it. I enjoyed how it went down and the walk on for Plainville with the catch and blah 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 for the 2-point to win it. That was all great, but. That was one of just 2 wins this year for KU, K-State had a much better season. K-State beat KU head-to-head. And then you're going to say, oh, well, the ultimate X factor is we beat Texas and K-State didn't. No. No. I don't believe that's true at all because K-State beat some teams that you didn't beat either. So it's kind of weird. But okay, you rationalize anything, I guess. Speaking of KU, KU's men's basketball schedule has changed quite a bit here due to COVID. They announced yesterday Nevada will come to town tomorrow night for a 7 o'clock tip-off on Big 12 Now and ESPN+. Plus. You can hear it on Z96.3 The Lake tomorrow night, pregame at 6:30. The Wolfpack, that's what they are from Nevada, will replace Harvard on KU's original schedule after the Crimson had to pull out because of injuries and COVID-19 issues within the Harvard program. And, oh, yeah, by the way, KU found out late last night that TCU, their game against Texas Southern, has been canceled for tomorrow night. And now TCU has problems with COVID-19. So, thus, they had to postpone the Monday night Big 12 opener between KU and TCU. Actually, it's going to be this Saturday. I take that back. It's going to be Saturday, which was going to be on New Year's Day there in Lawrence. So, there will be no game for KU coming up this weekend, apparently. There will be one tomorrow, we think, against Nevada, but not against Harvard. And this comes after they were going to play Colorado, went all the way out there, found out an hour and a half before tip, hey, we're not playing because there's COVID-19 issues with the Colorado program. So let all the chaos begin. And here's the good news now, if you're a KU ticket holder. As with Wednesday's Nevada game as a replacement for Harvard, all tickets purchased for the TCU game will be valid for the rescheduled game later this season. They'll reschedule TCU-KU, at least they hope to. And so forth and so on. So, and TCU joins Oklahoma State in postponing its Big 12 opener because of the pandemic. Got all that? Okay. Top 25.
It's hard to keep up with all of it.
It is, man. Top 25 basketball poll. KU didn't play, but they move up from 7 to 6. UCLA is 5. They haven't played in 2 weeks. Gonzaga is 4. Purdue is 3. Duke is 2. And Baylor is still number 1, undefeated. Iowa State is now number 8 in the country. USC is undefeated. They're number 7. Arizona, number 9. Michigan State, number 10. So the Pac-12 is off to a pretty good start. I mean, they got 5, 7, and 9 in the top 10. Everybody talking about SECs being better and the Big Ten's all this. And the two conferences that have the most teams in the top 10 is the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting, I think. Texas ranks 17th. And is Tech still rated? Or did they lose?
25th, yep.
They're 25th. Oh, there we go. Yep, 25th. Oklahoma's receiving some votes just outside the top 25. Okay, college basketball tomorrow night. North Florida will be at K-State. K-State's 8-3. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Now, if there's any reason to go to a K-State men's basketball game, everybody knows tomorrow night's the night. It's Lego night.
Yeah.
Lego night.
I saw that.
I like that. Lego night. So put together your Lego mascot figurine of Willie and have him beaten up a Jayhawk. Whatever you want to do. Lego night tomorrow night. And you can watch on ESPN Plus if you don't go to Bramlage. That's if the game actually happens. Wichita State 9-3 is at Eastern Carolina. That's tomorrow at 6 o'clock on ESPN Plus as Wichita State opens up conference play there. Okay, Chiefs, let's jump into the – well, let's go back to the bowl games for a second. Let's finish up the college football stuff because we're talking about how COVID's impacting everything. There was a bowl game last night, just one. Western Michigan beat Nevada 52-24. So here's the schedule as of now for the bowl games for today. There are a few today. Wow.
There's five of them.
Wow.
As long as they all don't have, like, somebody back out right before kickoff.
I don't know if this is Central Time or Eastern Time. Noon – on ESPN, Houston versus Auburn?
I think it's at 11.
Okay, 11. So that's Eastern time.
I think that's Eastern time.
So Central time, 11 o'clock. At 2:15, it's the First Responder Bowl. It's Air Force versus Louisville on ESPN. Liberty Bowl, Texas Tech against Mississippi State. Texas Tech against their old good friend Mike Leach, who had some very amazing – did you see him rip into Texas Tech last night? Called him sleazy and everything else? Oh, my goodness.
Like, talking about allegations that is like, oh – that's new.
Made up investigations. Yeah. Can't provide documents because there was no investigation. Yeah. He goes, just pay me the money.
Something at the end, and right at the end, he said something about covering up sexual assault.
Yes,
I'm
he
like,
did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he did.
Oh, this is where we're going with this.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
He was not.
He wasn't happy.
Nothing nice about Texas Tech.
He said, you know, the fans and everything great, and they deserve better, is what he said. Holiday Bowl, NC State and UCLA is at 7 o'clock tonight on Fox. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Minnesota, West Virginia at 9:15 on ESPN. So the Big 12's got Texas Tech and West Virginia both playing today. Once again, Texas Tech, 5:45 against Mississippi State and Liberty Bowl on ESPN. Then tomorrow you got the Pinstripe Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, if we have them. Who knows? And we've had, what was it? Tomorrow's Alamo Bowl is Oregon versus Oklahoma. That could be kind of interesting. And Iowa State will be in action Big 12 team against Clemson. That's also interesting in the Cheez-It Bowl. The other interesting thing in college football is actually we've had, what, one school that has swapped bowls so they could fill in a spot and got released out of another bowl? What was that, Central Michigan? What wasn't it?
Central Michigan was supposed to play in the
in a certain bowl,
Barstool Arizona Bowl or something like that.
They were released of it. They canceled the Barstool Bowl, and now they're going to play Washington State in another bowl, right?
In the Sun Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, and that's interesting. No, we've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's just, hey, we're going to keep this bowl game going, but to do that, we got to cancel this one.
Right.
It's just weird.
It is very weird. So let me ask you a question. K-State's supposed to play in a bowl game January the 4th against LSU.
Good things coming, Warby Parker.
Nice pop-up video. Do you believe there will be a game? Based on everything that's happened with COVID and based on the fact that LSU probably doesn't even care about the game, the SEC apparently doesn't care about bowl games unless they're a playoff game because they're not off to a decent start in the bowls, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you think they already had a lot of guys opt out? They've got, like, they don't even know who's going to play quarterback necessarily. They got another stud linebacker. He opted out of the bowl game. They're 6-6. They got, you know, they have a new coach come in, Chip Kelly. Ed Edgeron is, you know, gone. I don't even know who's coaching him for the bowl game. Argeron isn't, I don't think.
No, he said he wasn't going to stay around for that.
Let me ask you, I mean, is there really any reason for LSU to actually play this game? I mean, I'm sure some of the kids want to play, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Bill Snyder would be the first one to tell you this. Hey, I'll take all the practices leading up to the game. We play the game, that's just the reward. But he would love getting all the practices in to help them going into next year. You talked to a lot of coaches, the bowl game is just
Chris
cherry
Kleiman's
on top.
The same way.
Yeah, the coaches will tell you that the bowl game's the cherry on top. It's all the extra practices you get in, you know, versus other schools that maybe don't get as many practices that helps you going into next year. It's the same thing in high school football. Brad Gober talked about it. You know, the last few years we've gone deeper in playoffs, so we've gotten so many more practices that helps our freshman and sophomore classes compared to teams that are sitting home after playing nine games. It's an excellent point, and I totally agree with them. That's one of the biggest benefits of making a deep run in the playoffs in any sport. Well, not necessarily in the pros because you eventually wear down, but in college and in high school there are a lot of benefits of going deep because that can, you get all those extra practices and reps and everything else. So there is a benefit to these teams getting to that point. But the question I have is, do you think there'll be a game?
Oh man, it's hard to guess on that because I don't know what LSU, what they're thinking, right? Like, it's not, if there's not a game, obviously it's going to be because of LSU. I mean, K-State, I think is in a firm spot where they want to play a football game.
Sure. Unless COVID issues pop up.
Yeah. Whether you get all the practices or not.
I'm talking the COVID angle with this combined with LSU being like, dude, why would we push it?
Yeah. I'm going to say there still will be.
Okay.
And I don't know if who's all going to go on the new CDC guidelines that came out yesterday.
Yeah, they're
just
go
a five-day quarantine now. So that could help, too, from that aspect of it, if LSU has some guys out. So, because, I mean, obviously we're in the window starting Thursday would be where that would kind of cut off on the quarantine window if other guys are going to start coming back. I must say there's going to be a game right now.
Now let me rephrase.
That's hard to predict.
I know.
But my prediction will be yes.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question. Okay. Same question, but in a different way. You have plans all along to go to the Texas Bowl. You took time off. You're going to go all the way down to watch the game. Are you still doing that? Knowing that this game might not happen, are you still going ahead and make your plans to go to Houston and then being disappointed when there's no game?
I probably would.
Okay.
Because if I go to a bowl game, I'm going to plan a lot of stuff around it.
Sure,
too.
It shouldn't
I'm not
just be the,
go to,
it shouldn't just be the bowl
to,
game.
Yeah, I'm not going to drive to Houston and just go to the stadium, go to the game, and come back home.
Right.
So I probably would because I know how I plan trips like that.
Right.
That now there's some people that won't. That'll be like, well, we have time to get in and out for the game.
The bowl game is pretty much the main.
That's
thing.
Why
that's
why we're going.
That,
we're going to watch K-State play football.
Yeah.
Which I think most people don't do that. I think most people at least schedule or get there early to
do
other something,
stuff,
you know, whether they know what they're going to do until they get there or not might be a different story, but I would still go, but that's me.
This would be my advice. If you are a K-State fan that's going down just for the game, I think you should save your money because I think this game's not going to happen. That's what I believe. Now, it doesn't mean it won't, but I think – if you're just going down for the game, it's going to be, I'm going to go on the day before, I'm going to spend that night, and I'm going to do the game and come back the next day. I think if it were me, I'd hedge my bet and say, I'm not going to go. If my whole main reason is just to watch the game, it's no point. I'll hedge my bet and stay home, save my money for next year's bowl game, hopefully. But if it's like you said, I've got lots of things I want to do. I've never been to Houston. I've never done this. I've never done this. I want to go this. I want to go this. And then the game ends up canceled. Well, at least it was worth my trip. So I agree with you. But I think there's two trains of thought depending on what you're going to do.
And then on the backside of that, there's also one thing that if some other bowl games get canceled ahead of that, to where an SEC team, say, can't play their game, maybe they're the team that goes into that slot, kind of like what we're talking about with, with Washington State finding a new opponent.
Might be a different team they play.
So I wouldn't like that as a coach, per se, because then you spend all this time preparing for LSU, and now you're on the fly, you're playing somebody else. So there could always be that backside of that, too, because this is the last bowl game other than the championship, right?
That's the last one.
This is the last one on January 4th, so you've got leeway time in there. Somebody says, hey, we can't play, and LSU decides – on Thursday of this, like early, that hey, we're not going to play. That maybe you could sneak something in there.
Yeah,
I don't know if that'll happen though. I like I say, I know you want to play a game as a coach, but I don't know if I want to prep for.
Well, I wouldn't either. But if it means playing a game compared to not, like Beloit did last year, where on the day of a game, Norton canceled and they had Centralia. They didn't have much film. Neither team did, and they played, and it wasn't a. Yeah, it's better to play than not to play. That was the theory then, which I agreed with. I think college teams would say – I think Chris Klein would say the same thing. You know, we've done all this. Yeah, I'd be a different team, but at least we'd play. Especially if you already made it down there or something.
If you're down there, for sure,
I don't know exactly when K-State will be going down there. I know last year with bowl games and other stuff they're trying to do, well, a lot of bowl games are canceled last year, but the talk was that you go down later than you usually do. So then you don't get the full bowl game experience anyway as a player. So, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reporting that tests showed there was swelling but no structural damage on Clyde Edwards-Helaire's injured collarbone, and the injury isn't season-ending. The running back left the win over the Steelers after playing 25 snaps. He should return shortly, according to Rappaport. That's good news for the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs would be okay without him, although it's nice to have that extra back because then, you know, if Williams got hurt, then you're stuck with Derek Gore. Gore's done a nice job. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I would guess he's not going to play this week. And then if they beat the Bengals this week, there's a chance the Chiefs could have the one seed wrapped up going in a Denver game, and the Chiefs could rest everybody against Denver. And Bronco fans, you might get a win over the Chiefs then because the Chiefs might be resting everybody for that last game. That's crazy to think the Chiefs went from 3-4 to winning the AFC West with two games to play, winning it for a sixth straight year after starting 3-4. Hard to believe the Chiefs could have the number one seed sewn up, wrapped up after this weekend because all they need is the Titans to lose a game. And they need the Chiefs. The Chiefs need to beat the Bengals. And the Chiefs wouldn't even have to play anybody against Denver. They could just forfeit and let the Broncos have it. Or play all the backups and see if Chad Henne can hold on to the football. So it is pretty amazing. The Chiefs have gone from that spot to another. So it could be that if the Chiefs wrap with number one seed, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to play against the Broncos. I don't think Clyde's going to play the last two games. I think they'll save him for the playoffs.
They don't need him. I don't think.
I don't think they do right now.
After watching Sunday's game with what Williams and Gore did on their touches, like, I don't think that he's all that important right now to what they're doing.
I agree. The thing is,
you like want to have him.
You want to have him because then you can break up the carrying the ball burden and everything else.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Jamal Charles' 35th birthday. Jamal Charles, who wore number 25. Clyde Edwards-Helaire wears number 25. Mm-hmm. I saw all the highlights of Jamal Charles yesterday on a five-minute montage, and I remember Jamal Charles, and he's one of the fastest dudes I've ever seen. Third-round draft pick out of Texas. Finally, something good came out of Texas. Just kidding. Just kidding, people. Just messing with you. But Jamal Charles, he had so much speed. And one of the things that stands out to me when I watch the Chiefs run the football, and I've ever since Kareem Hunt was let go, but I see it a lot last year, and I see it a ton this year. And this is the problem I have with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it's not his fault. He is what he is. I watched him at LSU. I thought he was faster. But in NFL, everybody around you is faster. Defenses are faster. So that makes you look slower. The Chiefs, when they get holes, like I saw it in person at the Chiefs game on Sunday. I've seen it on TV. The Chiefs, the line sometimes will open up a really significant hole, and the Chiefs get 8 yards. It's second and two, and it should be a 20-yard gain or a touchdown. Can you imagine if the Chiefs had Jamal Charles in the backfield with this team? Oh, dear Lord. Jamal Charles would, first of all, Mahomes' numbers would go down. You know why? It'd be a good reason why. Because Charles would run for 1,500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he would score 20 touchdowns. with some of these holes that he would have. Now, you could argue Andy Reid would never allow a running back to do that. And that could be true. That could be true. But Jamaal Charles was also great at catching the ball out of the backfield. Great at that. And he had power to go with his speed. And so after seeing him yesterday, I'm like, why couldn't Jamaal Charles been come around 10 years later?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And I've had my son say this over and over. He's like, God, I wish we still had Kareem Hunt. I'm like, well, you wouldn't have him because he would have been up for a contract renewal and the Chiefs wouldn't have. I've heard from many sources he was never going to get a big deal with the Chiefs because they knew about all his baggage. But even when they drafted him, they knew he had some issues. But still, I like the thinking. He had Kareem Hunt. My goodness. Well, you know, you probably wouldn't have re-signed. Maybe you wouldn't have re-signed Chris Jones. Maybe you wouldn't have traded and got Frank Clark. I mean, who knows what would have happened? Maybe you don't give Hill his money or Kelsey his money. You don't know. It's a trickle-down effect. But what I do know is they don't have Kareem Hunt. They have serviceable running backs. That's why people would argue you don't need to spend a first-round draft pick, and that's why Allaire's – some people think Allaire's a bust because he was a first-round draft pick and he hasn't run for 1,000 yards and this and that. He's been a very good, solid player, but he's not a superstar. But then how many guys usually are superstars that are drafted at the very end of the first round? Not a lot. I mean, we're talking basically early second, late first. To me, those guys all mold together. Mm-hmm. Second pick of the second round versus the second last pick of the first round, they're virtually the same player. So when you say like Clyde Edwards-Helaire would have been the second round pick of the Chiefs, he wouldn't catch as much heat as he does because he's a first round pick. Yeah. But he was the last pick of the first round.
Yeah.
So Helaire's been a decent pick. I wouldn't say a great pick, decent. And I've said this for a long time. You shouldn't draft running backs in the first round. I almost consider that a second round pick. You definitely don't sign these running backs to long-term extensions, give them a ton of money. That's just not we pointed out all the examples of it. But, yes, you can get – Darrell Williams was undrafted, okay? He played six games at LSU. Some people think he's better than Helaire. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Derek Gore, he has probably the best speed to hit the hole of all three of them right now. So if you just imagine the Chiefs had more speed at the running back position, they could hit the hole a little quicker, how great could this offense be? Oh, my goodness. What if? What if?
Yeah.
What if? What if? Who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs right now? Let's start with the AFC. What team concerns you? What team worries you the most in the AFC?
It seems like every time we're at this point of the year, I say the Colts.
Yeah?
I'm going to say the Colts.
See, I do think the Colts are going to be a tough matchup.
No, the Titans get Henry back and he's healthy.
Yeah.
I might put them in there.
I'll tell you the two teams that concern me the most. The Bills are starting to figure some things out. And before the season, everybody was saying Bills, Chiefs, best two teams AFC. I would agree with that. The Chiefs had their ups and downs. The Bills had their ups and downs. But the Bills now beat the Patriots. They've put together two really solid wins back-to-back. I think they're starting to figure things out. They're starting to run the ball more, take some pressure off of Josh Allen, and they've run the ball effectively. Their defense is good. I think the Bills are still a concern. They went in Arrowhead and they waxed the Chiefs. And I know the Chiefs are a lot different than they were then. The Bills still would concern me. But I look at these teams. I'm like, first of all, I'll just go down the list here. These are all the teams that are still mathematically not eliminated. The Broncos, obviously not concerned. The Browns, not concerned. Steelers, obviously not concerned. The Ravens don't concern me. Will you agree so far?
Yeah.
Raiders.
I'll jump in if I disagree.
That works. Raiders are not a concern to me. The Chargers would be a concern to me because they know each other so well. And I think that, I mean, honestly, it might be best that the Chargers don't make the playoffs. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. As of now, if the playoffs started today, the Dolphins would be the 7th seed. Are you worried about the Dolphins? If the Chiefs play the Dolphins, are you worried about them?
No.
I'm not either.
Not with Tua. I mean, the way this defense is playing, I think they can handle Tua.
I agree. And the offensive line of the Dolphins isn't great. And Tua really just short passing game because he doesn't have a lot of time. But their defense is pretty solid. The Patriots, you know, early in the year I was kind of concerned with them. But I think if Mac Jones had – and remember, these teams would have to go to Arrowhead. Mac Jones going to Arrowhead, I don't like a rookie quarterback going to atmosphere. And the Patriots starting to have some struggles. I'm not really overly worried about the Patriots.
No.
Agreed? The Colts you're worried about. I'm not as worried about the Colts as much.
I'm not going to say like I'm scared of the Colts or anything.
Right.
But
that's the number one team that concerns you? Out of the AFC? Biggest threat to the Chiefs?
For now, yeah, just because of what they can do.
Okay.
But Carson wins.
I think the Bills are the biggest threat to the Chiefs.
I would put the Bills at number two for sure.
For me, the Bills are the biggest threat. The Titans, I know they waxed the Chiefs earlier in the year. I just feel like a rematch at Arrowhead. I know Andy doesn't do well against the Titans typically. I guess I'm not – if Derrick Henry comes back fully healthy, I'm not really super concerned because I know the Chiefs can contain him.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't come back, I don't think the Titans I just don't think the Titans have enough offensively to beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. So I'm not sweating the Titans a ton. The Bills are the team I'm worried about the most, although I'm not freaking out about it. But I'll tell you the wild card in this whole thing is the team they're going to play this weekend. The Cincinnati Bengals have a quarterback that's thrown for over 4,000 yards, and I've said this when he got drafted. I said he's the real deal. Number one pick sometimes are bust. I said Joe Burrow's the real deal. The Bengals did the right thing by getting Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a horrible offensive line last year and then shredded his leg and broke his leg, shredded his ACL, came back. He's having a great year. His offensive line still isn't great. But when that guy has time to throw, he will pick you apart.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that to the Ravens again, 525 yards on Sunday. But here's the thing. When I look at matchups, the Bengals have a running back over 1,000 yards in Mixon. They have a quarterback that is mobile enough to make plays. He's very accurate. He throws some picks, but that's usually when he's under pressure, like any quarterback. They have three outstanding receivers, Boyd, and they got T. Higgins, who's a stud, and Jamar Chase, who's a stud, who might be the rookie of the year. They have three legitimate number one wide receivers, at least two, and then a top two. The Chiefs haven't faced anybody like that this year. So I have concerns against the Bengals. Now, the reason why I think the Chiefs would beat the Bengals, and hopefully they'll beat them this weekend, is I think the Bengals' defense isn't quite up to snuff. But the Bengals are the wild card, and I know that they don't have a lot of experience, so that's why I'm not trying to sweat them too much. Like, if they come to Arrowhead in the playoffs, even if they beat the Chiefs this weekend, they come into Arrowhead in the playoffs, this is going to be a whole different animal for them because they're hosting the Chiefs, and that'd be a playoff game. So the Bengals, to me, are the wild card here. They're actually going to probably win the division. They're not going to be a wild card, but to me, they are the sleeper of all these teams that they have enough offense to keep up with the Chiefs. See, when I look at the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are starting to figure things out on offense, and amazing what they did without Kelsey the other day. Oh, Mahomes can't do anything if you don't have Kelsey or Hill. He basically didn't have either. And all he did was 23 of 30 for 258 and three touchdowns and didn't he break a sweat with Pringle and Robinson and Hardman and, I mean, Blake Bell and Noah Gray and Derek Gore. I mean, and you sit here and tell me, oh, you can't win without Mahomes with Kelsey or Hill. You know what? Yeah, he might not be able to win a Super Bowl without them this year. That's probably true. But in the future, he'll probably – I think in the future, Kelsey and Hill will be gone. Mahomes will still be in his prime. He might be 31, 32. I think the Chiefs can build around him again, and they can win without Kelsey and Hill. I do. I think the fact is they can't win without Mahomes. We know this so far.
Yeah.
But the Bengals are the team, I think. The Bengals and the Bills offensively are the – and the Chargers – those are the three teams that I think can score with the Chiefs. Because I think the Chiefs now can score 30 a game, and I think they're very focused in the defense to get them a turnover to a game. That's obviously icing on the cake. They're not turning the ball over on offense. So I look at what teams can score, what teams can challenge the Chiefs' defense and keep up with the Chiefs' offense. And to me, there are three: the Chargers, the Bills, and the Bengals. I don't think the Titans can. I don't think the Colts can. I don't think the Patriots can.
Yeah, the Colts are going to play a different game
right.
if they try to beat the Chiefs.
To me, the Colts remind me of the Titans that came in the Arrowhead and AFC title game a few years ago, and the Chiefs went ahead and held Henry in check, and they put it on Tannehill's arm, and he couldn't do it. And I don't think Wentz starting to come around somewhat, but he still makes bonehead decisions, although he made a great throw this past Saturday night against the Cardinals. He's a guy that was MVP type of guy a few years ago until he ripped up his knee to shreds. I just don't think the Colts have enough, Dusty. They can go in, smash mouth. They can control time of possession. They can run for 200 yards, and I still don't think that's enough to beat the Chiefs, especially with the Chiefs' defense playing better. So, and remember, too, Nick Bolton didn't play this last game. Everybody talked about Kelsey missing that game against Steelers. Bolton, the Chiefs actually did pretty good against the run until at the end with their backups, and I was impressed by that because there was no Nick Bolton, and he's their best run stuffer. So that gives me hope for the future as well. So for me, I think the Bills, with their experience and a guy that can beat you with his arms and his legs, is Josh Allen. The Bills has that experience. They've been there. They're not going to be fazed by going in the Arrowhead. There would be my number one concern. I think my number two concern would honestly probably be the Chargers. And because they've won at Arrowhead already and could have easily won the second time. And I know Chris Jones didn't play in that game. And then the Bengals would be my third concern. And I might take the Bengals out of the equation if the Chiefs go in and roll them this weekend. But those are three teams that worry me because those teams, I think, can all score with the Chiefs. They can put pressure on the Chiefs' defense. I don't think the Colts, Patriots, Dolphins, and Titans are equipped to do that right now.
I don't want to play a team three times in the season, no matter who it is, it is, where it is.
Yeah, even though we rolled the Raiders twice.
Yeah, I don't like those kind of things because, you know, you already Chargers, you beat them once, but you split, right. So it'd be a rubber match or whatever. But there's times where you'll see a team win two games in the season and then they lose the playoff game that counts. And you see that in every level of sports, right? They might see them, two, three times, and then that last one you just don't get.
Would you rather have the Dolphins in instead of the Chargers?
I would much rather have the Dolphins in the playoffs instead of the Chargers. I think matchup wise, everything. The whole thing, I would rather have the Dolphins in the playoffs instead of the Chargers.
Would you rather have the Ravens or the Chargers in the playoffs?
I'd say Ravens on that, too.
I agree with you.
Especially right now. I don't think the Ravens are going to be that team. But
the reason the Charger matchup isn't great, the Chargers aren't good against the run, but the Chiefs don't really focus on running the ball. So that's a good matchup.
Yeah, if you would actually take it and use it to your advantage, then it might be an advantage.
Andy doesn't do that.
No.
Who do you think is the biggest threat to the Chiefs, assuming the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl? Let's say the Chiefs get the number one seed. Whether they win the next two or whether they win one and go 1-1 and the Titans lose. Because that's all they need. They need Titans lose one game, Chiefs win one of the next two, and they got the one seed, or Chiefs just simply win the next two. And I think if they lose to the Bengals, they'll beat the Broncos, and they need the Titans to lose one. If the Chiefs fall to a two seed, then they could be hosting the Dolphins. If the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, and that is an if. It's hard to make it three straight years. Who's the team that you're most concerned about in the NFC?
I'm looking at that. Dallas has a defense that's just all
now,
over the place.
Compared to when
they're healthy. Yeah. They've got a defense all over the place. But they're Dallas. Should I be concerned about them? Tampa Bay obviously put the blueprint together last year, but I think the Chiefs can maybe learn from that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Green Bay just doesn't play good enough defense consistently.
See, a lot of people tell me immediately, automatically, the Packers, and I know Rodgers can do special things.
I want it so bad.
I love the Chiefs.
I
want to
see Mahomes Rodgers in the Super Bowl so bad.
Me too.
I don't know. I'm going to put the Rams, actually, probably.
You got Chiefs and the Rams in the Super Bowl?
No, I think the Rams might be the matchup that maybe you don't want. I don't know. It's hard for me to – but Dallas, the way they play defense, and the Rams would be also what they are capable of doing defensively. I think it's all based on what these teams can do defensively.
Okay.
Because the Chiefs, I think, are at a spot with their defense where they've been able to kind of figure out a lot of different things and can defend what anybody brings at them.
I think all four would give the Chiefs problems.
Yeah,
Packers,
I mean, there's
Cowboys,
problems.
Rams, Buccaneers.
Every single one of those teams that has clinched their division or is leading their division right now.
I'll tell you, the Cardinals,
I wouldn't be all that worried about it.
I'll tell you about the Rams. What I would like in that matchup is Stafford's not that mobile. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs do pretty good against stationary quarterbacks. The Rams don't have a great running game. And they don't – I mean, they have Cooper Kupp, but OBJ is their number two option, and I don't still think he's that great. So they don't have as many weapons that concern me. But their defense is good. That would be a concern with Donald inside. The Buccaneers still worry me
because that front that can get to the quarterback without blitzing.
I know.
That's why the Rams, I think that was in my mind, that might be the team.
See, but offensively, I don't think the Rams are as good as they could have been because all the injuries. The Buccaneers still concern me because it's Brady, and they can get pressure up front. But the Chiefs got, obviously, so far, knock on wood, a healthy offensive line. You got to remember that, too. We got to remember the Chiefs have a better offensive line. The Cowboys, I don't know if they can get the pressure up front against the Chiefs. I know they got Parsons, and he can. But I don't know about that. The Cowboys have an offense that could keep up with the Chiefs, I think, when they're fully healthy. But I'll tell you why I like the Chiefs against the Cowboys, because Mike McCarthy's their coach.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, I'm more worried about Bruce Arians and Sean McVay than I am about Matt LaFleur and Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Something keeps holding me back picking the Packers to make it to the Super Bowl, and I think it's their coach. I'm still stuck on the down 8, 4th and goal. You take the ball out of your quarterback's hands against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady with just over 2 minutes to play at home. I'm still stuck on that. I can't get past that. Like, are you going to correct your mistakes you made in the past? Well, Matt LaFleur's got this unbelievable record his first three seasons as a coach with the Packers. Okay, that's pretty impressive. He also has one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but that's impressive. I get you. But what's he done in the playoffs? had home field advantage last year, and they choked, if you want to call it choke. Defensive breakdown before halftime. And Brady threw three picks in that game, and you still lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't leave the ball in the hands of your MVP quarterback with just over 2 minutes to go, knowing Brady only needed one first down to seal it. That's just one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in sports, and I'll say that until I'm 6 feet under. So I can't buy the Packers because I think they'll make some mistake. And I'll tell you this, the Packers special teams, they're atrocious. Poor Scott Creer. If Scott's listening, Scott's a Nebraska fan and a Packer fan. Scott Creer has to be sitting here going, is there anything special about special teams? Well, yeah, there is for everybody else, but not for Nebraska or the Packers. The Packers special teams isn't that great. And I think that's why when I look at this, my biggest thing is I just want Brady and the Buccaneers eliminated. I'm like, bring on whoever, if the Chiefs play whoever. I don't want the Buccaneers in it. And a lot of people are like, well, come on, man, you get a chance of redemption. Yeah, you do, but what if you lose the Buccaneers back-to-back years? I don't want that. So let's just go ahead and get the Buccaneers knocked out.
Yes.
So for me, I look at the Packers right now would play the Bucs in the second round of the playoffs. I think the Bucs will go in and win in Green Bay again. I do. Because the Packers aren't good at special teams. I question their decisions by their head coach. And the Buccaneers are more aggressive as a head coach, Bruce Arians. The Buccaneers have that swagger, although they have injuries. That's the wild card of that. But, you know, Brady comes up big in the playoffs. And their special teams are a lot better than the Packers. The Cowboys and the Rams, I'm going to take Sean McVay against Mike McCarthy every day of the week. All right? That's just who I'm going to take. Mike McCarthy, I've never been sold. I don't think you're a great coach when you had Rodgers for all those years and you won one Super Bowl and only went to the Super Bowl one time. I don't think you're that great of a coach all those years in Green Bay when you had the best quarterback in the league many of those years and you made it to just one Super Bowl. So I can't buy in on McCarthy. LaFleur has time to change that narrative. I'm not buying McCarthy. So then I'm worried about the Rams and the Buccaneers is what I'm trying to tell you when they play the Chiefs. Both teams can get pressure. Both teams play good special teams. Both teams have very good coaches who are aggressive. Both teams have experienced quarterbacks. Both teams can get pressure without blitzing. So to me, to answer my question, I'm going to say the Rams or the Buccaneers are the two that I would worry about the most, more so than the Packers or Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't know. When you got a guy like Aaron Donald that can just take over whenever he feels like it, like this is going to be my game.
And they got Jalen Ramsey who could maybe take away one of your weapons.
Yeah. And so you've got a couple key parts there that can really mess up what you're trying to do offensively. I think that's probably why I leaned toward the Rams as I got deeper into my thought process and looking at it. But, I mean, listen, when you get to that point, you can think you have all the answers. I think we thought that last year, right? Chiefs are going to beat the Buccaneers. I mean, they don't have an answer for what Mahomes and
they had an answer.
And they had the answer, and they had the blueprint for a little bit that teams really were starting to take. And the Chiefs have started to figure a little bit of that out, you know, as the season's gone on. But you get to that point, every team is a concern, and every team can have something that can probably slow you down.
Well,
if you're not executing the right way.
A couple years ago, the game everybody wanted to see was Rams and Chiefs in the Super Bowl, a rematch of a 54-51 game the Rams won on Monday night. Instead, the Chiefs defense, D4, jumped off sides. Chiefs defense couldn't stop Tom Brady, and we had one of the most boring Super Bowls of all time. I know Clover loved it, 13-3, but I didn't. I remember
nothing about that game except the score.
Everybody talks about how great Tom Brady is. He scored 13 points in that game. Well, Mahomes only scored 9. Yeah, but Brady wasn't missing a right and left tackle. He had a great defense. Now, that's the thing that's scary about the Chiefs is their defense starting to be good. Imagine what the Mahomes and the Chiefs can do over the next few years if their defense could stay good. But the Rams and the Chiefs is what everybody wanted to see a couple years ago. Instead, we got Rams-Patriots, and that was a dud. And then last year, a lot of people wanted to see Chiefs-Packers, and some wanted Brady versus Mahomes. But Chiefs-Packers, and then we're denied that because, you know, their coach wouldn't trust Aaron Rodgers in the final minutes. So maybe we finally get the Chiefs-Rams or the Chiefs-Packers in the Super Bowl. One thing I do like about the Buccaneers situation this year is last year they had, you know, they played a Washington football team the first game, and I know that it was somewhat close, but, you know, you never thought the Bucs were going to lose that game. I would like the Bucs to be tested severely in the first game. Right now they play the Cardinals, which I think could give them some problems, although they're struggling right now. I get it. And then they would have to go to Green Bay the way it's situated now. And remember, the Cowboys went into Tampa early in the year and nearly won. And that was Dak Prescott's first game after being out.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys match up with the Buccaneers. And I think the Cowboys match up with the Buccaneers better than the Packers. And the Rams already beat the Buccaneers pretty soundly. But so did the Saints last year. And then Brady got the ultimate win, winning in New Orleans when Breeze and the Saints turned the ball over four times. I think the Buccaneers need even more stuff to go their way this year to get to the Super Bowl. But you look at it, earlier in the year, everybody's like, oh, the NFC is going to be the greatest thing. Then everybody's like, oh, the AFC is much tougher. Oh, now the NFC. Now you look at it like, wow, all the threats we talked about seem to be more in the NFC than the AFC, and the Chiefs are in the right conference.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? And by the way, if you ever want to go with yin and yang, if you want to go with how a season goes, we try to tell you that a season is a marathon, not a sprint. Who were the chic picks in the AFC before the season began? Who were the picks?
Well, the Chiefs, obviously.
And the Bills.
And the Bills, yeah.
So the top two teams before the season.
A lot of people were on the Browns, too.
True.
I was. I had them winning their division, finally. And
if they didn't have a lot of injuries, who knows?
Yeah, COVID injuries, everything they've gone through.
Yeah. So before the season, it was mainly Chiefs, Bills, maybe Browns.
Yeah.
Okay, then after week one, the Chiefs barely beat the Browns. The Bills lost to the Steelers at home. And there was really like, okay, we'll see how it goes. And then we went from the Chiefs and the Bills are the favorites to early in the season, the Bills, they went in and beat the Chiefs. And suddenly the Bills were, oh, well, okay, clearly the Bills are the favorite. I was told by people that the Chiefs, there's no way they have home field advantage. The Bills have an easy schedule. And I tried to tell people the Bills will trip up. And they did. Then the talk was who was the best team. The Ravens. Ravens were off to a great start. The Ravens are the best team. Then there was the Chargers.
Should have lost half the games they won.
Right. Then, remember, it was the Chargers. The Chargers are the best team, and then the Ravens just waxed them. Then the Ravens were the best team after the Chargers. Because, see, the Chargers beat the Chiefs. So it went Bills and the Chiefs are the best teams before the season. Then it went to, ooh, the Chargers beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. The Chargers are the best team. Then the Ravens pounded the Chargers. Oh, well, they're the best team. Then all of a sudden the Bills go into Arrowhead. Oh, the Bills are the best team. And then what did we hear? Oh, hey, look at those Titans. They're coming on. The Titans beat the Chiefs. The Titans are the best team. And then they turn around and lose to the Texans at home. Then guess who was the team? The Patriots. Oh, my gosh. Look out at the Patriots. That's nobody. They don't want to play. The Patriots are the best team in the AFC. Now, who's the team to beat? The Chiefs. Isn't that crazy? We've gone through basically six teams at different parts of this year. And I think we would have agreed with that, you and I. At the time, the Chiefs, the Bills, oh, okay, now you could argue this is the best team. Ooh, the Titans are the best team. Oh, this week, the Ravens are. Ooh, the Patriots are. Ooh, the Chargers are. And at the end of the day, we're back to where we started. The Chiefs and the Bills are probably the two most complete teams in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? That's why you let it play out. Oh, my God, the Packers lost 38-3 week one to the Saints. The Packers are the number one seed. And if Jordan Love didn't play against the Chiefs, the Packers might have won that game. The Chiefs would be tied for the number one seed, and the Packers would have a two-game lead for the number one seed without Rodgers having COVID.
Yeah. The Packers thing was like, I know I didn't read anything into their first game of the season.
Either.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, everything that went on during the offseason. And people were saying, you know, he didn't try and this. And I think there's actually a little bit of something to that. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers just kind of went through the motions in that first game. It was his first game back out there and just trying to do. He wasn't all there, you could tell.
I think
you're
right.
And I think part of that was on purpose. Because if you know how petty Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Threw the game. What I'm saying is, like, he didn't give bit of effort.
Yeah.
Once there was a point where it was like, hey, yeah, I'm not.
Right.
This isn't our day, and I'm out. You know, like I'm checking out of this game. I'm still in it, but I'm checked out.
One last question before we let everybody go. Going long today because we're going to be short the rest of the week. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Is this the best Chiefs team that includes Patrick Mahomes?
It's all around, I feel like it is.
I agree. I think it is the most complete team they've had since Mahomes has been there. Now, that's saying something because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl 2 years ago and, you know, got to the Super Bowl last year. But this defense is better than any of the last 3 years, at least the way they're playing now, if they stay healthy. Special teams, I think, is very solid. I think it's better than last year. Their special teams all the way around. Their coverage is pretty good. Their kicking is really good, as long as they have the real kicker, not Elliott Fry. By the way, the Chiefs should never touch a guy that has Elliott as a first or last name.
I said that on Thursday when you were gone. I'm like, I just don't like the Chiefs having a kicker with the name Elliott. I was like, I hope it's better since it's a first name.
We were watching him in pregame warm-ups. He had 55 yarders. And in the game, he made his first one, and then he missed extra point and missed a chip shot field goal. The wind was a factor, no doubt.
Oh, yeah,
but
for sure.
Still, I mean, Boswell missed a chippy too. But I'm like, yeah, I'll be happy when Butker's back. But punting's been solid this year too. Mm. So the Chiefs are a very complete team. This is the most complete team. And I think the one thing that we're having a hard time wrapping our arms around as Chiefs fans, because I think there are Chiefs fans that feel like this team isn't as good as some of the teams we had in the past because we don't score as many points.
It's the offense, yeah.
And so we go, well, the offense isn't as good, so we're not as good. No, no, no. The thing is, we're not as sexy as we once were, but we're the total package.
Yeah.
You know, like you got that hot supermodel. You got, whether it's a guy or a gal, all right? In fairness to the ladies and guys listening to the show right now, you got this hot supermodel, guy or gal, right? And you think that person's got it all. Then you meet them and they have this really obnoxious laugh, or they have a high-pitched helium voice, or they're not very bright, but boy, they look good. Well, okay, so that's the sexy part. You go, oh, okay, that body's pretty nice. Okay, great, but it's not the complete package. Then you have another person that maybe isn't a 10 on the 1 to 10 scale, but they're a 9 or an 8. Like, oh, that's a pretty attractive guy or gal. And you get to know them, like, wow, this person is even sexier than I thought because they have a personality and they make me laugh and they do this and do that. And I think that's what the Chiefs are. I think the Chiefs are that super, they're not the supermodel they once were. Okay. We ignored the funny laugh, and we might have ignored the mole around their cheekbone or something because they were so doggone hot. So that got us really, who cares if the defense is struggling? We're so hot, we can overcome anything, right? Now, the Chiefs are the complete package. All three phases are clicking pretty well. And that's what makes this team so dangerous. And the other thing, too, is the Chiefs don't have to do what they used to do on offense because the defense is getting turnovers now. The offense basically needs to be efficient, don't turn the ball over, don't force it downfield when we don't need to. And, yeah, we can settle for a few field goals. It's not the end of the world. We got a guy who can kick 56-yarders. And that's something else the Chiefs have. They have a guy that can make it. Him and Justin Tucker are the only kickers I know of that can hit 60-plus in the playoffs. So that's a great weapon to have. You've got, of course, a great coaching staff to experience. You've had that all along. But this, to me, is the most complete team the Chiefs have had, even though the Chiefs' offense isn't as potent and explosive as it was. I would argue the Chiefs can beat you in many different ways now, and thus they are the most complete team. And I don't think you could have said that about the Chiefs, obviously, going into the Super Bowl last year. You clearly couldn't say that when they made it to the Super Bowl 2 years before that, although the defense really came around late. And you definitely couldn't say it the first year Mahomes was quarterback because the defense was atrocious and still almost made it to the Super Bowl. So that's why I think people are saying this is the best Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes. And you may say, that's nuts. They started 3-4. They weren't even going to make the playoffs. Steeler and Bronco fans told us that Mahomes was overrated and they were not going to make the playoffs. Well, now they're 11-4. And you sit there and go, yeah, but some of those wins early on, the Giants, they barely beat. The Packers without Rodgers. The Raiders aren't as good. The Cowboys are banged up. Yeah, but at the end of the day, they've won 8 in a row. They've got their swag back. And that means a lot.
The offense is at 48-34-36 the last three games. And
that's okay.
That's dangerous.
That's
right?
Dangerous. And the defense has helped them out.
The defense is at 9-28-10, too. You
that's
know, it's
dangerous.
Like that. These last three, and the Chargers are the Chargers. That's an overtime game that
sure.
Maybe shouldn't have won.
Chris Jones
didn't
play.
Lucky and they won. And you know, yeah, and they were missing some guys there. But, I mean, these last three games here are
– against decent teams.
And you're talking no Kelsey against mm-hmm. the Steelers. You won 36-10.
No Nick Bolton.
No Nick Bolton on defense. Yeah. You know,
no Butker. Kicker.
Like you said, basically no Tyreek Hill. I mean, yeah. He was out there. He caught two passes for 17 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
And so these last 3 weeks are the reason I say that.
I agree.
And right now, the way the team is playing right mm-hmm. this moment, mm-hmm. there is no question this is the best team they've had since Mahomes has been the starter.
And here's what could be even more bad news for the rest of the National Football League. If the Chiefs beat the Bengals this week and the Titans lose to the Dolphins, the Titans play the Dolphins this week. If the Dolphins beat the Titans, the Chiefs beat the Bengals, the Chiefs can basically have 2 weeks off before their first playoff mm-hmm. game. And we've seen how that's helped them.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
It used to be back in the day with Marty Ball. Seemed like we'd get the first. That didn't help the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But with Andy Reid, we know what his record is after byes and so forth. With Mahomes, it really does help this team. You heal up mm-hmm. and you get ready to go. Hilaire might be 100% by that time. So it is very possible they could wrap up the home field advantage this weekend, and that makes them even more dangerous.
Yeah.
Have everything going for them going into the playoffs, mm-hmm. and then watch they lose to the they'll lose to the Dolphins in the divisional round or something crazy like that. I don't know. It is interesting. A lot of things to sort out. A lot of teams still alive for the playoffs in the NFC and the AFC. So we will continue to follow it all right here on the Sports Ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.